Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And once again, the number to call, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We'll go right to the phone calls in just a moment, but I did want to share with you an article by David French. He's writing in the National Review. I think this is a very important study that he's writing about. It's a new study that challenges progressives' tall tales about sexuality. And David French writes in part that when it comes to gender identity, there is cis and there is trans. A cis person's gender identity matches the sex that they were assigned at birth. A trans person is anyone of the 50 plus other genders on the entirely reputable, I'm sure he's saying this tongue in cheek, Facebook spectrum. And anyone who contradicts this isn't just ignorant, but bigoted. And when it comes to bigots, is there really much difference between a Klan member and a Christian conservative? Well, this kind of reasoning has been the source of much of the LGBT movement's political force. In fact, it's the narrative that dominates the academy, pop culture, progressive corporate America, and lately even the Supreme Court. And to those who live in the real world, the narrative has always run counter to observed reality, what we experience in the real world. So it should come as no surprise that upon closer scientific examination, the LGBT left's case, well, it collapses. And yesterday, the New Atlantis released a comprehensive study of studies that made precisely that point, taking a look at the accumulated body of credible scientific research on LGBT issues. The study by Lawrence Mayer, scholar in residence at Johns Hopkins University, and Paul McHugh, former psychiatrist in chief at Johns Hopkins Hospital, well, their findings destroy the current narrative. First, because the view that sexual orientation is that people are born that way is not supported by scientific evidence. Second, compared with the general population's non-heterosexual subpopulations, well, they're at an elevated risk for a variety of adverse health and mental health outcomes. The numbers are very sobering. For example, the rate of lifetime suicide attempts across all ages of transgender individuals is estimated at, catch this number, 41% compared to under 5% in the overall U.S. population. And the third scientific discovery, is the idea that gender identity is independent of biological sex, that a person can be a man trapped in a woman's body or a woman trapped in a man's body, is not supported by the scientific evidence. Only a minority of children who experience cross-gender identification will continue to do so as they get older. French goes on to say, still, there are sectors of American and European politics and culture that can't kick away the old norms of marriage and gender fast enough. And they keep doing so in spite of the mountain of evidence that those who forsake the allegedly oppressive, quote, Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement, to quote Black Lives Matter, face far greater challenges than those who stick faithfully to the heteronormative of traditional male-female marriage. What's even worse, what's downright inane, is that some on the left want to end the debate, and that without any competition, without considering the mountain of evidence based on scientific rather than subjective feelings. The left's response is alluring, but, says French, it suffers a self-indulgent path down which lies cultural ruin. The LGBT left is driving there as fast as it can depress the gas pedal, but thanks to McHugh and Meyer, we now know they most assuredly are not doing so in the name of science. Again, this is David French, an attorney and a staff writer at National Review, talking about the mountain of evidence that has been discovered by simply looking at the facts. New study, study done by some very, very credible people. And I think we are involved today in a social experiment that is going to have devastating repercussions on our culture. And the people that are going to be hurt the most are the people that are buying the narrative. And unfortunately, there are many, even at a young age, that are now taking hormone treatments and are going to reap the whirlwind in their own lives. A lot of you hanging on right to the phone lines. First up today, Adam, listening in Tipton, Missouri, Butt Radio. Hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the call, sir.
Pleasure.
I was just wondering what you think about today's contemporary Christian music that's being put out.
Well, you know, from a biblical standpoint, Paul urges us to sing to one another with three categories of music. One is psalms, the other is hymns, the other is spiritual songs. Singing psalms, of course, is a very wonderful way for intercession, instruction, and really even the internalization of the Bible. And the great hymns of the faith have always stood the test of time. They're rich in theological tradition and truth. But spiritual songs, the third category, they are worthwhile in that they communicate the freshness of our faith. And so I think it's crucial that we preserve both a respect for spiritual heritage as well as a regard for contemporary compositions. However, I think we have to be very careful about contemporary compositions in that many of them today are being composed by people who are not only ahistorical, but biblically illiterate as well. And so they tend to reflect the values of the culture as opposed to the values that you find in the canon of Scripture.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Roger, listening in San Jose, California, on the web. Hi, Roger.
Hey, Hank. How you doing today?
Well, thank you.
Good. I have a question. A friend of mine who I've been talking with for about a year now asked a question. I hope you can help me with it, which is, what's the difference between what ISIS is doing and some of the commands within the Old Testament? And I think the reason I'm really wanting help is just kind of to know where to begin to answer, because if he was a Christian, I think I might have a better way of knowing how to answer. But since he doesn't believe in God, I guess I'm just trying to make sure that I can answer in a way that would be beneficial to him.
Sure. I think one of the things that we have to point out is that Mosaic law was always geographically bounded. It was for a particular people at a particular time in history, a time in which God ruled directly over a people. And so we can certainly understand that God giving his commands through his representatives on earth would give commands that are based on knowing the full scope of what's going on. So, for example, with the Canaanites, there was a tremendous amount of patience before the acts of God's judgment fell. So you have these 4 centuries before God finally exacts punishment on the Canaanites, which were a people group that were literally eradicating themselves. They were taking their children and sacrificing these children in the fire. They're involved in every kind of sexual perversion that one could possibly imagine. And so God used the Israelites as the axe of his judgment. But he told the Israelites, if you do the same thing, the axe of judgment will fall upon you as well. And so it did with the Assyrians conquering the northern kingdom in the 8th century before Christ and the Babylonians conquering the southern kingdom in the 6th century before Christ. So again, Mosaic law was geographically bounded. It was for a particular people at a particular time in history. And this was a time in which God ruled directly over a people. Sharia, conversely, applies to all people in all places and at all times. Not only that, but the Mosaic law is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who, of course, famously said to Peter, put down the sword, because if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. And his method of propagation was never force or violence, but rather it was to spread the message in peace through the word. And this is how the early Christian church conquered the Roman Empire. Though they faced all kinds of vilification and persecution and cruel death, they continued propagating their faith peacefully by sharing the word of God, which transformed ultimately the Roman Empire. And then they advanced throughout the Levant. When Islam came into being in the 7th century, exactly the opposite happened. They advanced via the sword, and every caliphate since has done exactly the same thing. You also look at the gratuitous violence that you find with respect to ISIS, where they are raping women and beheading people in unnecessary fashion, and they, as a caliphate, are demanding either one of three things. One is that you say the Shahada, which means you convert to Islam. The second is that you subject yourself as a dhimmi, and then you pay a gangster protection toll, which is called jizya, or you succumb to the sword. So this is very, very different from what you find in the Christian ethic on war. For more than 2,000 years of Western history, of violence, whether expressed in warfare or armed rebellion or employment of force as a divine state sanction, was required only when three criteria were considered to be legitimate. So it could never be entered into lightly or for aggrandizement, but only for a legally sound reason. And that sound reason had to be a reactive one. So, for example, the Crusades were, with all their error, they were a reactive response to the aggression of Islam in the Levant. Secondly, it had to be formally declared by an authority recognized as having the power to make this kind of a declaration, and it had to be waged justly. So just war theory has always governed the reactive response of Christian warfare against an invading enemy. So we could say that America justly applied those principles from its Judeo-Christian heritage when fighting the Nazis during World War II.
Got it. And then also, would I also be, or do you think it would help him being an atheist to also explain that these commands come from two very different concepts of God? Or do you think that would be...
No, I think that's a perfectly legitimate thing to say, and I think that you should also challenge his atheism, which is to say that an atheist is believing something very fanciful, that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produced morals. Not only that, but atheism has no right to judge any kind of morality in any way whatsoever, because according to the atheist paradigm, everything is strictly governed by fatalistic processes. In other words, molecules in motion. Everything that one does is fatalistically determined by brain chemistry and genetic. So drawn to its logical conclusion, in atheism, there is no such thing as good or bad, right or wrong, because everything is a function of philosophical naturalism.
Got it. So even the fact that he's an atheist raising up the question doesn't make sense in light of his atheism.
Well, exactly, because if everything is a function of molecules in motion, then there is no right or wrong, whether by ISIS or by Christianity. There is no good or bad. There is no rhyme or reason to history. There's no meaning to life. Everything is fatalistically determined, again, by molecules in motion.
Perfect. Thank you so much. That really, really helped. I really appreciate it. And God bless you in your ministry.
Thank you. And thank you so much for calling in today. Do remember, if you want to listen on the Bible on your smartphone, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I should say, on your smartphone, you can do that by downloading the Equip app. Just go to equip.org/app. You can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live. You can listen to archived editions. You can read hundreds of articles. And you can give in a safe, secure fashion. Again, you can download CRI's Equip app at equip.org/app. And once again, a thank you to all those who stand with our ministry prayerfully and financially in the battle for life and truth. Without you, we simply could not do what we do, not only here, but around the world. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Hank Hanegraaff writes, "As formidable and relentless as militant secularism is, with its attack dogs being unleashed on Christian belief, I don't think that secularism is our greatest foe. Our greatest enemies are ignorance, denial, indifference, and a retreat into cozy church cocoons or shrinking spiritual ghettos, naively and simplistically trusting that this too shall pass. Religious freedom is under assault today, as never before." Read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive your copy of It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for supporting the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. My faith versus my job. My faith versus my social standing. My faith versus my future. For more and more Christians, notes Mary Eberstadt, such either-or thought experiments aren't theoretical exercises. They are constant real-life companions. Houston pastors were subpoenaed to turn over any sermons mentioning gender identity or the mayor. A U.S. Marine in North Carolina was court-martialed, discharged, and denied military benefits for posting on her office computer, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." The Christian Research Institute is here to equip you to act against the growing secular onslaught. Read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for your support. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Religious freedom is under assault as never before. A country founded on freedom of speech and religious belief is being changed from within by activists hostile to both. Is this what we want America to be? Read the new book by Mary Eberstadt, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. To receive your copy of It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and a reminder that when you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries. With your ongoing support and appreciation, you receive a personalized copy of any one of my books, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. I can tell you the summer has been dreadful financially, so whatever you can do would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. And when you give electronically, it saves you time and postage. You can use a credit card, a debit card, or an EFT, an electronic funds transfer, and again, when you give, you are touching the lives of people, not just for time, but also for eternity. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Robert next in Kansas City, Kansas, listening on Bod Radio. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Hank. I wanted to first thank you for taking my call. Your ministry is a true blessing and an encouragement to me personally to dig deeper into the Word of God. The Old Testament is filled with a lot of prophecy that was given and fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. My question is, as a Christian, what prophecy do we still look forward to being fulfilled in time? And do you have some scripture passages that I could read? And if I could, I'd like to take your answer over the radio so I could jot down some notes.
Sure. Yeah, good question. And I think, first of all, the premise is that the biblical prophecies are designed to demonstrate that the Bible is reliable. And we know that from the words of God Himself. I told you these things before they happened so that when they happened, you would believe. And those are the words of Jesus Christ, but they're echoed in the Old Testament, where God says that He shows you things ahead of time, so you can't say your metal idols ordained them or did them. So prophecy substantiates that the Bible is, in fact, an infallible repository of truth, something that you can depend on. So by and large, the prophecies have been made and fulfilled, demonstrating that we have something that we can test all things by to know whether or not things are so. Having said that, certainly there are prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. For example, the Bible makes clear that Jesus will appear a second time. Now, that has not happened, so this is an unfulfilled prophecy, and it is the prophecy that we look for and long for as believers. We also know that Jesus prophesied that a time would be coming when all who are in the grace would come out. Some will rise to live, and some would rise to be eternally condemned, John chapter 5. So we have that expectation, that glorious hope that all are going to be resurrected. And so my dad, who died in 1997, is looking forward to the time of resurrection. He is now absent from the body, present with the Lord, but when Jesus appears, his soul will return to his body, and his body will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And what a great hope and what a great longing and expectation that is. We also know that the problem of Satan and sin will be fully and finally resolved. And then, as Romans 8 puts it, that the universe that now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay. So what happens to the universe and what happens to our bodies in resurrection goes hand in hand. So all of that is what we have to look forward to. But the notion that some people are forwarding that somehow or other you can find America in Bible prophecy is simply and patently false. It is the stuff of speculation, of sensationalism, sophistry, and even a lot of script torture thrown in. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Eddie, listening in Council Bluff, Iowa, KLCV. Hi, Eddie.
Yes, hello, good evening.
Good evening.
My question is concerning what some would call young Earth creationism versus ancient Earth creationism. I've noticed, I'm a 32-year-old, and I've noticed a lot of my generation are actually more prone to say that things like ancient Earth creationism is possible, that carbon dating, the fossil record, the geological record, and all these things that science has revealed stand in affirmation of ancient Earth creationism. Where I've noticed a lot of people before my generation, 40s, 50s, 60s, seem to want to skew more toward young Earth creationism, where we're dealing with the days of creation as in 24-hour periods versus days of creation as infinite, unquantifiable amounts of time. And I've been researching and studying for about a year and a half. And I just wanted to know where you stood on this and what type of education or topics you can recommend to me in my further pursuit of this wisdom.
Well, I've written a book called The Creation Answer Book, in which I answer questions with respect to the age of the Earth. But I think the first thing that we have to recognize is that if you want to know about the age of the Earth, you're not going to find an answer to that question in the Bible. The Bible simply is not designed to answer the question. Genesis opens with a literary mnemonic, a memory aid by which we are daily reminded of God's creative prowess, but not of how long it took. The first 6 days outline a hierarchy of creation that culminates in humanity as its crowning jewel. And on the seventh day, we're told that the Creator, in whom we ultimately find our Sabbath rests, himself, and as such, the history of creation is remembered and recalled through its association with a continuous 7-day cycle of life. Again, it is not intended to tell us how long it took, as though it would take God 24 hours to do anything. It's intended as a mnemonic so that we can remember God's creative prowess and that we at the end are the crowning jewels of God's creation. So the creation days are not to give us a chronology of creation, but rather a chirology. In other words, expressing the purposes of God in creation. So the first point I'm making here is that if you want to answer the question, you're not going to find the answer in the Bible, which is special revelation, but rather in the universe in which we live, which is general revelation. And if you look at general revelation, you start to observe some things. For example, consider an observable astronomical event like Supernova 1987A, a very famous event, an event with an identifiable before and an identifiable after. So the bottom line here is that prior to 1987, the supernova was a star in a distant galaxy 168,000 light years away. And then on February 23, I think it was, 1987, the star explodes, it becomes a supernova. In other words, 168,000 years ago, the star explodes, and in 1987, the light of that event finally reaches the Earth. Unless, of course, God created the universe 6,000 years ago, then the supernova, well, it'd be like a documentary film of an event that never really happened. So this is one of the things that you can look at. Many other things, however, I think point to a universe that is far older than 5,000 or 6,000 years. of age. For example, you can look in the night sky and you can see a star in infancy. You can see a star in midlife. You can see a star that's a white dwarf star. It's burned out its nuclear fusion. And you can tell how long it takes to do that. And that's not measured in thousands of years. It's measured in billions of years. But even if you postulate, as cosmology does today, that the age of the universe is 13.8 billion years and the age of Earth is 4.5 billion years, you're still talking about a very young universe. You think about big numbers. Think about our national debt. Approaching 20 trillion. Now, that's a really big number. So relatively young, but certainly not 5,000 or 6,000 years old. General revelation tells a completely different story.
Right, right. You know, my main concern was that whether you want to hold on to young Earth or whether you look at the scientific data and hold to ancient Earth creationism, the factor would be, as long as you believe God did it, you are technically not in any deep theological error. Would that be a fair statement?
I think it is a fair statement. I think, unfortunately, there are people, and unfortunately many times in the young Earth camp, that want to make this an acid test for orthodoxy as opposed to being a collegial debate. This is not in any way, if you say that the universe is 13.8 billion years, it is not in any way conceding the evolutionary paradigm. I mean, that's not enough time to form a simple protein molecule by random processes. And even if you could form one in that fashion, forming the second would be infinitely more difficult. So, I don't think that this helps the evolutionary paradigm in the least.
Correct. Right. Okay. Thank you so much for your answer. That actually cleared a lot up for me. Bless you and your ministry, sir.
Thank you. Back to the phone lines. Elizabeth, she's listening in Columbia, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I so appreciate your ministry. I was given your information a long time ago, and I've been listening to you ever since. I have a question. I went through a divorce about 15 years ago, and I've remarried. And so I'm in a quandary as to when I get to the, afterlife, am I going to know that both were my husbands? I know I'm going to have to answer, to the relationship and my faults in that first one. I'm just wondering where that is, if you have any idea.
Sure. Yeah. At the resurrection, Jesus said, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven in the sense that they won't be married, but there will be intimacy in relationships. So the relationships you have with those who inherit heaven as their eternal home will be far greater than any relationship that they ever had on Earth. And we can't say what all of the parameters of those relationships are, but what we know is Earth is the breeding colony, heaven is the homeland, and we will neither marry nor be given in marriage, but our relationships will be infinitely more wonderful than anything we can imagine. And the wonderful thing about the lives that we have lived here, though there are consequences to sin, obviously, there are. David sinned and the sword never left his home. But the beauty is, from a biblical perspective, is that in heaven, we will not be dressed in the filthy robes of our own self-righteousness, but in the brilliant, sparkling robes of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can rest assured that we will have intimacy of relationship with those that inherit the kingdom, regardless of what our relationships with them were. On earth, because in the eternal state, there'll be no sin, there'll be no suffering, there'll be no more crying, there'll be no more mourning, there'll be no more tears. The old order will have passed away. We'll be right back with more.
Edmund Burke said, "All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing." And nobody made a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could do only a little. Hostile secularism is winning battles and gaining ground. But this is hardly the time for Christians to retreat. Find out how to respond to the growing secular tsunami by reading Mary Eberstadt's new book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive your copy of It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for supporting the life-changing outreaches of CRI by calling 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hannah Graff will return right after the break. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hannah Graff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. InterVarsity, one of the largest collegiate associations in the country, has been derecognized on a growing number of college campuses for believing in traditional morals. In 2014, Brendan Eich, CEO of Mozilla and creator of JavaScript, was forced from his position just for having donated $1,000 to California's Proposition 8, a ballot initiative limiting marriage to a man and a woman. A plethora of such examples demonstrate that a tsunami of secularism has been unleashed, and we've not yet seen its high watermark. To equip you for the days ahead, read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive your copy of It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for supporting the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Hank Hannah Graff observes, hostile secularism is unquestionably winning more and more battles and tenaciously gaining ground, but it advances only as Christians retreat or simply sleep through the conflict. The words of Abraham Kuyper have never been more relevant. When principles that run against your deepest convictions begin to win the day, the battle is your calling, and peace has become sin. Read the new book by Mary Eberstadt, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. To receive your copy of It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And here again is Hank Hannah Graff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is David listening in Logansport, Indiana, Sirius XM 131. Hi, David.
Hello, Hank. Really enjoy listening to your broadcast.
Thank you.
My question is concerning true salvation. I understand the Bible to teach that salvation is only attained through Christ completely and totally. And I have a lot of friends that are in other denominations that add other beliefs to that orthodoxy. And, of course, I'm concerned about them. You know, what's your thoughts about people that believe in the atoning work of Christ as being essential and also add things like baptism and works and so forth to that?
Well, I don't think you're saved by what you do. I think the Bible's very, very plain on that point. You're saved by what Christ has done for you. So the gospel is not what you do, but what Christ has done in your place. He's lived the perfect life that you could never live, and he offers you his perfection as an absolutely free gift. You can simply reach out the hand of a beggar to receive the gift of a king. Now, certainly as a believer, you engage in good works, which is to say, if you do not, you are not demonstrating the genuine nature of your faith. Tell me about your faith, I'll show you about my faith by what I do. That's a paraphrase of what James was talking about. True, genuine faith in Jesus Christ produces work as a natural result. It produces fruit because we have the engrafted life of Jesus Christ. We have the true vine within us, and that true vine, by definition, will not only work but bear good fruit. Now, as a believer, the first act of obedience is that we are baptized. Now, baptism doesn't save us per se, but all believers are baptized in that they are demonstrating to a watching world that they've been buried to their old life, raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. They're taking up their cross and they're daily following Jesus Christ. So baptism doesn't save, but those who are saved are baptized because through baptism we are set apart as those who are part of the community of faith that are engaged in reaching the world. They're engaged in worshiping God in a genuine fashion, and they're engaged in oneness that attracts the world to the church to begin with.
Okay, but we'll say a person did believe that baptism was essential to be saved. Doesn't that take away from trusting Christ completely?
Well, I think you have to recognize that baptism is the means by which you are set apart, as opposed to baptism being the means by which you are saved. In other words, biblically, you can be saved and not be baptized. Now, that would be non-normative, it would be an exception, but the thief on the cross would certainly be the exception that proves that. But the idea of all believers who are continuing on in this earthly sojourn is that we're baptized and set apart through baptism. But no, we're saved not by what we have done, but what Jesus Christ has done. Abraham was saved not after circumcision, but before circumcision. And I think that same principle applies. So the argument that we find in Romans chapter 4 would be a great argument that you can follow in terms of its sequence and logic as Paul presents it to answer this very question.
Okay.
Okay.
Appreciate your answer.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Frank. He's listening in Farmington, New Mexico, KTGW. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, I got a couple questions. I was wondering, is it a prophetic deal where the Muslims are taking over? I've seen some things on YouTube where they're in Germany and France and how they're taking over the Middle East or Europe, the UK, and I was wondering how much time before they come over here, and do you think if Hillary gets elected that she'll let them people come in here and do as they will, the way they have done in the other countries? And I'm kind of wondering why the media doesn't show what they're doing in those other countries. And I see how, they're pretty... It's not a Christian religion, that's for sure. But What's your insight on that? What's going to happen as far as those go, as far as the Muslims go?
Well, we don't have to wonder about what could happen because it's already taking place. And I think that you correctly point to the EU countries as examples of migration without assimilation. And it has been well described as the python swallowing its prey with a long and slow digestion. I mean, it's a simple matter of demographics. The native populations in the EU countries are dying out. Muslims are migrating, and in many cases not assimilating. And when that takes place, you have a growing population, a burgeoning population, because while EU native populations have a negative birth rate, Muslims have a very robust birth rate. I mean, a Muslim man can have up to 4 different wives. And so you can propagate very, very quickly. And when they reach critical mass, they're going to want to do what every good Muslim does, and that is impose Sharia. Sharia and state cannot be separated. Sharia is state, and state is Sharia. And every good Muslim who adheres to the teachings of Muhammad and the teachings of the Quran is going to want to adhere to Sharia. That's what they're going to want to abide by. That's part and parcel of their religion. And so often people think about Islam as, merely a religion in the Western sanitized sense of the word, but it's not that. It is a socioeconomic political system that runs on the rails of Sharia. So what Hillary Clinton is saying about Islam is just patently false. I don't know how someone can be living in an age of scientific enlightenment and universal intellectual enhancement, where you have great information on Islam that's available, and she does the great disservice to Muslims by mischaracterizing their religion. It simply falls into all kinds of the mythology that's currently popular in Western enclaves. She buys into the myth of the Andalusian paradise, as does Barack Obama. It's unfortunate. But people do buy into a lot of mythology today, and they don't do the proper research. I actually am writing a book about this because I finally got to the point of recognizing that this has to be communicated in a very simple, user-friendly, and memorable way. And I'm just about done writing that book. Hopefully I'll have the book done by the end of the month, Lord willing, if I can keep up the long hours after the broadcast and with all my other responsibilities. But I'm getting the book done, and again, it'll be a memorable book by which people can understand what Islam is, what the teachings of Muhammad are, what the unreliable revelations of Islam entail, what Sharia is all about, particularly with respect to wisdom, women and war. What the Levant signifies, because a lot of the epicenter of what we're facing in terms of turmoil in the world today is in the Levant, where, by the way, Christians are facing mass genocide. And then what the Islamic State is all about, what they're really after, and whether they end up being the quintessential terror group or someone takes their place is not the real issue. The real issue is Islam is in process, and has been since the abolition of the caliphate in 1924, of trying to reestablish reestablishing a caliphate. And then what the major doctrinal deviations or misapprehensions of Islam are. So all of that coming up in a book that I'm putting together, but I try to do it based on the best research possible, so it always takes me a long time. But that's my short answer to the question. Let me go right back to the phone lines, talk to Mandy in Austin, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mandy.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have got a two-part question for you. You mentioned earlier the scripture and several references to live by the sword is to die by the sword. And I've often wondered, I wonder what God feels about us solving problems with our countries and our nations with war. And also the precious service men and women, specifically for our country. We were taught that killing, taking someone's life is a sin. I wonder how we can pray for them and maybe counsel with them on that concern, because those two things have bothered me
Sure.
Lightly.
But so killing is not always a sin. Murder is always a sin, but there's a distinction between killing and murder. So when people say make love not war, that's a false dichotomy, because true love protects the innocent against the evil of an aggressor, and that kind of love sometimes leads to war. And if military action is not allowed in order to maintain order among nations, then police should not be permitted in order to maintain the order of a nation. In other words, it's a leap of logic to allow the police to resist a murderer and at the same time not let the military resist a murderous nation. So again, just war theory is in place for those who adhere to the Judeo-Christian tradition. The problem in the West, quite frankly, is that we have been severed from the Judeo-Christian root, and as such, we're like cut flower. The bloom is still there, but it cannot sustain itself because it's severed from the root. And unless we get back to the root, we're in deep trouble in the West.
Right. I agree. I think that's my thought, actually, just the same. And about our precious servicemen and women, how can we pray for them? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we ought to pray for them because they are doing what needs to be done, and that is maintaining freedom. And we can thank the Lord for them in that the freedom that they are maintaining allows us the opportunity to communicate the gospel. And that gospel is always advanced not by sword, but by word.
Amen. I agree. Thank you so much for your time, and God bless you.
Well, thank you so much for your call. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour, continue taking your calls. A lot of you are hanging on. You can also call in for the next hour. I'll continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. And if you're dialing in, you can dial in this number for the next hour. You can keep calling for an hour. I'll take your calls for an hour. 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. So you can start calling that number right now, and for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. For everybody else, thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. To make a gift that can transform lives, and as our thanks, receive Mary Eberstadt's new book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. My faith versus my job. My faith versus my social standing. My faith versus my future. For more and more Christians, notes Mary Eberstadt, such either-or thought experiments aren't theoretical exercises. They are constant real-life companions.
Houston pastors were subpoenaed to turn over any sermons mentioning gender identity or the mayor. A U.S. Marine in North Carolina was court-martialed, discharged, and denied military benefits for posting on her office computer, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." The Christian Research Institute is here to equip you to act against the growing secular onslaught. Read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for your support. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org.